looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Went through the extensive testing today, MRI. They're going to wait a couple days, let it calm down. I'm sure at some point we'll get a second opinion. But I don't know the severity of it. But it's not a mild. I'm not expecting them back in 10 days by any means at this point. We'll see how severe it ends up being. But it's got the potential of being a major injury.
So that is Dave Dombrowski, president of Red Sox Baseball Operations, talking about Carson Smith, right-hander Carson Smith, who was placed on the disabled list today, the 10-day DL with a subluxation of the right shoulder, which is a dislocation. Okay, a dislocation of the right shoulder, and which is bad enough unto itself, but wait until you hear how he suffered this injury. Holy crap, does it just go from bad to worse for the Red Sox? 617-779-0985. Is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We are broadcasting to you from our Star Market broadcast studio here at the TD Garden. Celtics and Cleveland Cavaliers, Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. We will have that for you here on 98.5. The Sports Hub pregame is at, Jimmy, 7:30 pregame?
No, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock pregame, 8:30 tip-off here at the Garden. So, for the first hour or so, you will have Adam Jones, and I'm assuming it's Christian Arcand again with him. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Joe Murray.
Oh, it's Joe Murray. Well, there you go. I'm missing on everything then, Jimmy. And again, Jimmy Stewart is back at our studio in Brighton, 617-779-0985. So, Jimmy, open up the phone lines. Let me get to Carson Smith. Okay, Carson Smith, who is I at this stage, I don't know whether to cry for Dave Dombrowski, who can't get the bullpen that he built in place all at the same time, or to laugh at him, frankly, because he's never been good at building bullpens. But Carson Smith, who pitched in the, I believe it was the, was it the eighth inning or the ninth inning? Ninth inning last night, gave up a home run to Chris Davis to extend the lead for the Oakland A's, came out of the game, was frustrated with himself, threw his glove, and separated his shoulder, and it is now going to be out for a significant period of time. And you heard Dombrowski say there, this has the potential to be a major injury. A major injury. Now, the Red Sox are on the verge of getting Tyler Thornburg back from the disabled list after he missed the entire year last year, having to undergo thoracic outlet syndrome surgery. So now Thornburg is also a guy who Dombrowski acquired to fortify the bullpen. He had to get Thornburg because Smith got hurt the year before. So all of these guys who feel like injury risks continue to get hurt, although in this case, you cannot blame Dave Dombrowski for the fact that Carson Smith, like a meathead, came out of the game, whipped his glove, and hurt his shoulder. And the Red Sox sound pissed about it. If you read between Alex Cora at one point said he's obviously disappointed, and there's a fluky nature to the injury, but believe me, if I'm them, I'm pissed. Like, you've got to be kidding me. David Price has missed time with numbness in his fingers. Then Price has to cut short a bullpen session because of struggling with allergies. Now Carson Smith hurts his shoulder. You had to put Hector Velasquez on the disabled list yesterday. Carson Smith goes on the disabled list today. Meanwhile, the Red Sox don't have a lot of prospects to deal with for help at midseason because Jason Groom blew out his elbow in the minor leagues and Michael Chavis got popped for PEDs earlier in the year. So they already had enough issues trying to make a trade to begin with, and now it feels like the potential needs on this team are multiplying. And I think there might even be a bigger need as they approach the deadline than we already thought. It has nothing to do with Carson Smith, but we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. So again, 617-779-0985. I want to play another cut for you from Dave Dombrowski. We'll get to Alex Cora as well. But Dombrowski was asked about the need now to potentially go out and get another reliever, given the injury to Smith. Jimmy, this is Dombrowski cut number three. Here is what Dombrowski said during the press conference today at Fenway.
We have some depth in the bullpen. It's one area. We have some guys coming back. Tyler Thornburg's very close to coming back. I don't know the exact date he'll be back. Austin Maddox continues to make progress coming back. We just got Stephen Wright. We don't think Hector Velasquez will be out very long. So we have some depth in that area. But you know, Carson Smith's a good pitcher, and you never like to lose somebody like him by any means.
So before we get to the phone, just let me ask Jimmy Stewart and Jim Murray quickly here. Do you guys believe that the Red Sox have depth in their bullpen?
Yeah, but it's not good.
there's the line of the year, Jimmy Stewart. Yeah, we have bodies. They're just not good ones. Jimmy Stewart, what do you think?
Their bullpen is terrible.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's depth. But, there's...
They have bodies. They have warm bodies. Neat. They're all terrible, and yes, none of which I would trust in the eighth inning of any game.
Okay, so, I don't think they're all terrible, but I think they're all average, right? So, but even so, Jimmy, you're allowed to say terrible. Again, it's certainly in the eighth inning, I think that qualifies. But I look at it and say, Austin Maddox? Austin Maddox is a guy you're talking about now is potentially filling a hole in that bullpen? Smith was one of the guys who you thought had some upside there. Like, maybe they could tap into something that we haven't really seen here, because he did have a good year in Seattle going back to, what was that now, 2015? So, but that's a long time ago now, and now he's hurt again. Thornburg, I don't know. I think he might be able to help them. But even then, I thought the Red Sox might need another reliever. So do they have bodies? Sure. But now they have an even greater need in the late innings than they did, because if Smith wasn't your eighth inning guy, he might have been your seventh inning guy. I still was willing to bet on him more than Joe Kelly.
No. Tony, Joe Kelly is the eighth inning guy. It's clear that's who Alex Cora wants. And if Joe Kelly is your eighth inning guy, you need two additions for the bullpen for the eighth inning. Because Joe Kelly, he sucks.
He's right.
Jimmy's very angry today, Murray. I don't know what it is that pissed him off. Could just be, it's been a long month. It was a long spring book here. Maybe a busy time of year, Bruins, Celtics, all of it. But in any case, I want to get to your phone calls. There's some other stuff to get to. Rick Porcello, certainly. Andrew Benintendi, his continued play. And Cora did have some interesting things to say, as well as Dombrowski, about the status of Blake Swihart, the lineup tonight. And Cora also spoke specifically about the eighth inning and how he intends to handle it. And we'll get to that as well. But in the interim, your phone calls, I'm sorry, why don't you sit tight for a second? That was Matt on the South Shore. I meant to go to Chris in Lowell first on Dombrowski. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, Dave Dombrowski. Look, we know who we got when we got him. He doesn't have the killer instinct of the general manager. And you guys even said, oh, he's going to kill the farm system. Well, you were right. He did. We have nobody. He's a moron.
So, Chris, look, I have a hard time blaming him for this Carson Smith injury. I mean, the first Carson Smith injury, I think you can pin on Dombrowski, at least to some degree, because I think everyone knew Carson Smith was an elbow risk, as is Chris Sale, for example. And on that one, nothing has happened yet. So we can look at it and say Dombrowski dodged a bullet. But to his credit, he rolled the dice and he won on that one. Drew Pomeranz, rather. They certainly got a good year out of him last year. He wasn't able to help them as much as they wanted the first season. Tyler Thornburg was another one who had a bad elbow. And in the case of Tyler Thornburg, he went on the DL and they haven't gotten anything out of him. So if you want to criticize Dombrowski for some of the moves, you can. This Carson Smith injury, this one is on Carson Smith. Joe is in Boston. Joe, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, what's up? Just want to talk real quick. You want to know what Dave Dombrowski's done? He's effectively, in the 2018 Red Sox, he's effectively built every Detroit Tigers team he ever assembled when he was the GM in Detroit. Excellent hitting, solid starting pitching, and in anybody's guess, skeleton-proof bullpen that can't get me out, Carson Smith. He comes out today afterwards and he talks about how arm fatigue might have led to this. This is the David Price effect. Let's see how many cockamamie theories we can throw to the media and see how much crap they'll buy. It's unbelievable.
Okay, so, Joe, I'm not going to argue with you on the shortcomings of the Detroit Tigers when Dombrowski was the general manager. Those teams didn't have bullpens. That's what did them in. If they did, they would have won a World Series in there somewhere. In 06, they had a good team. You know, they probably should have won the World Series. They lost to the St. Louis Cardinals, who I think got into the playoffs that year with 82 wins. I want to say they went 82-80 or something like that and squeaked into the playoffs and then beat the Tigers in the World Series. Jimmy, am I right in saying they swept them? Is that right? Did they sweep the Tigers in 06?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right on that.
Maybe I'm getting that wrong, but the Tigers, I remember, couldn't field, particularly at the pitcher position in that series. So it was a complete disaster. And if you want to get on Dombrowski for the Red Sox having as many holes as they do, given a $230 million payroll, you can do that. I mean, you can do whatever you want. But I think that that's fair.
Because Maz, there's a gentleman's sweep.
5 games. Okay. Yes. So the I think Dombrowski clearly has left some holes on his team again this year. And he is the kind of GM I look at sometimes and say, well, anybody could do what you do. Anybody could trade prospects for a proven veteran guy and try to win a World Series with veteran talent. The truly talented GM builds a juggernaut and just changes fuses in the fuse box and contends for a world championship over a long period of time. Multiple world championships, like Theo Epstein did, and he wins them. He wins his share. So, but that said, Carson Smith is not on Dombrowski. Not this time. This one is on the knucklehead pitcher who decided to throw his glove and hurt his shoulder in the process. I mean, that's just a colossal boneheaded mistake. So, we'll continue with your calls. Again, I want to play some of the commentary or comments from Alex Cora and Dave Dombrowski before the game tonight regarding some other issues on the Red Sox. I want to get to Rick Porcello, and I also want to get to Andrew Benintendi. We'll try to do all of that here in the next little bit.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5. Sports Hub.
I don't know about the whole eighth inning. I do feel our guys can get outs, you know, from whenever they come in, and we go with the matchups. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I do feel with how versatile they are, we can maneuver the last third of the game. As you know, there's guys that they can catch up with the fastball up, so we go with Heath, who can cut it down in the zone and then throw sliders. If they're low ball hitters, then Barnes, he can go up and throw the breaking ball. So just a matter of what we see before the series, the matchups that we feel comfortable with, and we go there.
So that's Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, talking about how he handles the eighth inning. And when he says matchups, he goes into great detail there, which is why I thought it was worthwhile to play for you, that Cora talks about, well, if it's a guy, the ball, you know, a guy who's likes the ball up in the zone, we go with Hembree. He can throw the ball down and down and away. And if it's someone else who likes the ball down, we go to Matt Barnes, who's got a high fastball and a big looping curveball, roundhouse curveball, and we attack him that way. And that's all well and good on paper. But what happens if you have both? In other words, the three guys you're going to face are all different. And this is why you need a legitimate eighth inning guy that can get both. And the other thing is, it puts a great deal of pressure on Alex Cora to call the right guy at the right time. And for a rookie manager, that is asking a lot. And the other thing is, I don't care whether it's a high ball hitter or a low ball hitter. I don't want Heath Hembree pitching in the seventh and eighth innings, especially if there's any sort of lefty on the other side of the, a lefty in the lineup. I want nothing to do with that if I'm the Red Sox. The bottom line is their talent's not good enough in the bullpen. It's not. Now, maybe Thornburg gets here and pitches well, and maybe Joe Kelly turns into the next Mariano Rivera. I suppose there's a chance, but I doubt it. To me, the Red Sox are now in a spot where they have to fortify that bullpen. The problem is they may be approaching a spot where they have to fortify their rotation. But I'll get to that in the next segment. In the interim, let's go back to your calls. And we'll kick it off with Joe, who's in a car. Joe, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, Matt? How's it going? I'm a big fan.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was thinking for the trade deadline, is it possible that we could package a deal with, like, JBJ and maybe Swihart? and try to actually get a good reliever? Or what do you think about that idea?
Yeah, Joe, listen, I think that you could get bullpen help probably for either one of those guys. And Swihart right now is probably your most valuable trade chip. So this gets into the fact that Dombrowski hasn't built a good minor league operation, and now he's lost Jay Groom, his best pitching prospect, to a season-ending injury. He has lost Michael Chavis, who entered the year as his most highly rated positional prospect, to PEDs for 80 games. And so he missed a chance to deal either one of those guys. In the case of Swihart, they couldn't send him down to the minor leagues when the season began because he was out of options. So with Swihart, it was either trade him then or release him or keep him on the big league roster. So they elected to keep him on the big league roster. My complaint with Swihart is that they are not playing him. And I'll ask Jimmy, our Jimmy Stewart, our producer. We're going to get to Dombrowski cut number four, Jimmy. When he was asked about Swihart's place in the lineup and also the prospect of dealing him, just this whole Swihart situation, here's what Dombrowski said.
Well, the plan is very much like it is right now. I mean, he is a protection for us as a third catcher. Really, I know people keep writing about that too, but the reality is your 25th player usually doesn't play that much anyway. It's more an unfortunate situation, I think, probably for him, because a lot of times it's a veteran-type player that fits that role that doesn't play all that much. And for him, ideally, he'd be out there playing on an everyday basis. But with the rules and the optional status, we just don't have that luxury with him. So he's in a spot where he contributes. He's a protection third catcher for us. He gets in the lineup every so often. And it's just up to him to be in a position to try to do the best he can. It's a tough role. We know it. But it's not like if we went and moved him off and put somebody else on, that other person would be playing a great deal. They really wouldn't be playing a lot at that point. So with the flexibility we have with Holt and Nunez both, now when Petey comes back, which I
Jimmy, we can stop it there. The idea that Swihart is the third catcher pisses me off. And then beyond that, and when I say that, solely the third catcher, that pisses me off. And the other idea that the 25th man doesn't play a lot on most teams, fine. How many teams have two catchers that can't hit their weight and you have a collective OPS that ranks you last in baseball among productivity of the position? How many teams have a center fielder who's also inept offensively and you could take him out, move Benintendi to center and play the same guy in left field? So look, you want to tell me you don't think Blake Swihart's a good player? Fine. I'd like to find out because when the kid came up the first time, I thought he could hit, especially from the left side or primarily from the left side. I would like to find out. If you don't think he can play as a Red Sox fan, that's fine. But stop feeding me the bullcrap about the rest of the roster. They've screwed this kid. They've screwed him over. They screwed him over by moving to left field. They screwed him over by moving him back behind the plate. They play him once a week max. And then expect him to get hits when he's in there. So they've totally porked him. They've completely porked Blake Swihart. Let's not delude ourselves into thinking that somehow they're giving him a chance because they aren't. Matt is in. Matt's on the South Shore. Go ahead, Matt.
How's it going, Tony? Kind of like just what you just said with Swihart. He's kind of the last prospect standing. I'm wondering if you think that's why they're not playing him, is because they feel they need to preserve that perception of him being a prospect across baseball. But if they stick him out there and he's struggling, then they're really out of assets come deadline time. I don't know if that's the right approach or not, but when you treat him like that, you get performances like last night.
So, Matt, I don't think that's the reason they're not playing him. I think they could certainly try him behind the plate, but they don't have confidence in him there. So the reason he's not catching is that they don't have confidence in him as a catcher. Okay? So the idea of the stock going up or down based on his play, I don't think that that's it. I think that they would have traded him by now, but they haven't for one reason. And that is that they don't know what their needs are yet. They're going to have to wait this one out because, look, they've had injuries in the bullpen. David Price has got issues going on there. Who knows? Maybe have some sort of big injury to the positional roster and you have to make a move then. So they're going to hold him on the roster until they can deal him. They're going to deal Blake Swihart. I have a hard time believing anything else, given that they're not playing him. They're going to deal him. They just can't deal him now because they don't know what their greatest need is going to be come July 31st. And I just say this quickly because I think a lot of people don't understand it. Minor league options are years of optional service, meaning there are 3 or 4 years in your career, depending upon when you're drafted, where you can be sent to and from the minor leagues an unlimited amount of time. Okay, Blake Swihart is now beyond that. They can't send him to the minors anymore without exposing him to waivers. Okay, so that's out. So the choice is keep him on the big league roster or get rid of him. That's it. That's the only choice they have. I just think that while he's here, they should play him. 617-779-0985. Jim Murray's got your headlines, and when we come back, I'll tell you why I'm starting to get concerned about the spot behind Chris Sale in the Red Sox rotation, and we'll get to Andrew Benintendi, too. We'll do that next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So I told you I want to get to Rick Porcello here. Porcello got smacked around again last night, second game in a row. But before we do that, this Carson Smith thing. What a donkey.
I mean, much like David Price, he shouldn't have said anything.
Carson Smith suffered a quote-unquote subluxation of the right shoulder in the dugout last night, throwing his glove in anger after giving up a home run to Chris Davis in the eighth inning. Okay, Dave Dombrowski has said it could be a major injury. He had an MRI today. They're going to get a second opinion. They're going to let it calm down. But if Dombrowski's telling you it could be a major injury, they already know. They took an MRI. They already know. Now, Smith apparently also spoke. The audio is not great, but nonetheless, you can hear him. He was asked about it, and I want you to pay attention to his response in the Red Sox clubhouse before tonight's game.
I think it's a freak accident. I mean, I think fatigue played a factor in my shoulder, and my shoulder just couldn't handle it.
What do you mean by fatigue?
I think my shoulder's tired in general.
From pitching?
Yeah, it's just from pitching. I mean,
my shoulder is tired in general just from pitching. Okay? It's May 15th. May 15th?
What's his workload been?
His shoulder's already tired, so this is what I'm trying to find out, Murray. I'm trying to find out, and I'm doing it as we speak here on the fly, so he's just going to have to work with me a little. I'm trying to find out. Like, has this guy pitched more innings than other relievers in the league? Like, who has pitched the most innings in among relievers? Let me see if I can find out if there is based on innings pitched.
Tony, okay? Based on what the Red Sox bullpen has, Hembree is 1, Kelly is 2, Barnes is 3, Kimbrel is 4, something named Marcus Walden is 5th, and then it's Carson Smith.
So
that's
Jimmy,
just the staff, Tony.
So I'm trying to find out, could one of you guys, oh, here it is, right here, I found it. Carson Smith is tied for 73rd.
Oh, my God.
73rd in the league in innings, and maybe that's a bad way to base it, okay? Like, I'll tell you what, I'll give you appearances.
He's 6th on the Red Sox staff in innings pitch, Tony.
Okay, so let me give you appearances, just in case he's higher up in that. And he's pitched in 18 games. They've played, what now, 41, which puts him on, like, 70 appearances? I mean, that's a good number, but it's not, like, ridiculous. So he's already got shoulder fatigue? This guy really, this guy to me sounds like another candidate for the psych award in the Red Sox bullpen. In fact, on the entire Red Sox pitching staff. Devin is in Stoughton. Devin, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, how you doing? Good show.
Appreciate it. Go.
I was wondering, like, with all these people, you know, Marcus Smith, I know it's a different sport, and this guy throwing his glove and stuff, don't they give these guys anger management classes or something? Shouldn't they, I mean, the resources are definitely there. It seems to me like these sorts of injuries are 100% preventable. I know emotions get the best of them, but the resources are there. They send them through all this other training. I mean, come on, this is stupid.
Okay, so look, Devin, depending on who the guy is, I'm not sure every player on every roster gets anger management, and I don't know what Smith's history is. So if he's got a problem with it, then maybe you're on to something. But I don't want robots playing for my teams. I want guys who play with emotion. I want that. I just think that the fact that he could, A, do it this way, like, if you want to throw the glove, throw it with your left hand. Like, to me, there are ways to sort of take care of your prized possession, which is your right arm. Really, to me, it is stunning that the Red Sox have had these this series of little issues and ailments and injuries, from David Price's hand numbness and allergies to now Carson Smith throwing out his shoulder by whipping his glove after giving up a home run in a game they were already losing. And I know it was only by a run. Quickly, Steve is in Norton, wants to talk about Andrew Benintendi. I'm glad he's bringing this up. Go ahead.
Hi, Tony. How you doing? Great show. Your sidekicks do a hell of a job. I want to talk about Andrew Benintendi, but I'd also like to follow up on your comments on the middle of the Red Sox offense.
Steve, I'll tell you what. Just stick to Benintendi if you would, because we get a lot of people we want to get to.
Okay, buddy. I think he's going to be a 260, 270 hitter. I'd like your opinion.
All right, so here's what I'll tell you about Benintendi. He's not catching enough heat right now. He's hitting 255. He's got two home runs. He's hitting 158 against left-handed pitching. He runs the bases like he's never played the game before. And last night, playing center field, which he is capable of playing, he misplayed a ball into a triple that cost him a run. So at the time, the score was 3-2. The triple made it 4-2. And I'm frankly a little tired of Andrew Benintendi and his attitude. And when I say his attitude, he seems to have big league-itis for a guy who's been in the major leagues now for all of what? 18 months? If that? I mean, we're closing in on 2 years, I guess, if you go to the middle of 2016 or late in 2016 when he came up. But last year was his rookie season, and to me, he's going the other way. He had a bad September last year. He misplayed that ball into a triple last night. In the game that they played against Oakland and Sean Manaea out there in the no-hitter, he complained about an official scoring decision. The guy feels to me like your poster boy for the spoiled, entitled, frankly, bitchy baseball player. So if you're going to be that, then you better put up the kind of numbers that Bryce Harper puts up. Like, if you're going to be that kind of pain in the ass and that type of knucklehead on the bases and you're not going to hit your weight, and you're going to try to be something you're not, then I would suggest producing. Because to me, I don't know how you don't get frustrated with Benintendi at this point. As we do every Tuesday when we come back, Trivia Tuesday, we'll give away a gift card, and we'll also give you the chance to participate, or rather to attend a game between Boston and New York in New York later this season. So right now, the first five callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985 right now, you will have the chance to participate in Trivia Tuesday. If you can answer three baseball questions correctly, you'll get a $100 gift card for Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill, and you will be automatically entered for the overnight trip to see Boston play in New York in September. First five callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll do that when we come back.
The baseball reporters, Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters,
which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox,
with Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Trivia Tuesday on the Baseball Reporter. This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Maserati.
Okay, maybe this is saying something, Murray, about the host, but this is rapidly becoming the most entertaining segment on the Baseball Reporters, because you never know what stupid answers the listeners are going to provide us here. So here's how it works. Okay, again, we'll give away a weekly gift card, and you get the chance to qualify for a drawing at the end of the year to see Boston play New York in New York at the end of the year. That includes one night stay in a hotel, round trip train tickets, tickets to the game, all that stuff. We will have a maximum of one winner per week. Okay, first five callers. So if we get a winner on the second call, the rest of you, sorry, you'll have to try again next week. If we get through five calls and there is no winner, then we don't have a winner that week. We look for someone else to enter the drawing next week. And up to this point, I would tell you that we've done this 2 weeks. We had one winner in week one. Last week, we struck out. Also, let me save you some trouble. If you're not 21 or older, you cannot win. and you must reside in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, or New Hampshire. So if you are under the age of 21, I would tell you to sit tight. You can call Adam Jones starting at 7 o'clock, 617-779-0985. Okay, so we will kick it off tonight with Nate, who's in Acton. Nate, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so here's what we've had to do, Murray. As you know, we've had to dumb down the questions a bit because we want people to win. And what sometimes, you know, I overlook my
knowledge. And
well, I say knowledge, but, you know, when you cover a team for a length of time, you come across stupid facts and you remember them.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that qualifies as knowledge, but you have a collection of stupid facts. So, Nate, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Okay, here's question number one. Spell Bogarts.
B-O-G-E-R-T-S.
Wrong. Jimmy, you can let him go.
All right.
No, that is incorrect. I try to resist giving people the correct...
Yeah, don't. Just go on to the next one. Yeah, B-O-W-G-A-A-H-A-T-S.
Okay, so let's go to caller number two again. We'll take five. And so if you want to try to jump in, 617-931-0985. You got to call the contest line, the Pride Motor Group contest line. John is in a car. John, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I would advise you also to listen to the whole question. Okay? Listen to the whole question before you shout out an answer. You're not competing against anyone. There is a red seat.
Oh, boy. This again?
There is a red seat in the right field bleachers at Fenway Park commemorating a 501-foot home run by this Red Sox great. Which Red Sox player hit the home run to create the red seat?
Ted Williams.
Hey, all right, there we go. All right, we got the right answer. Very good. Okay. Your next question. John, on the left field scoreboard at Fenway Park, the initials of this Red Sox owner and those of his wife are spelled out in Morse code. Okay, on the left field scoreboard at Fenway Park, the initials of a Red Sox owner, a former Red Sox owner, and those of his wife are spelled out in Morse code. Name the owner or just give me his last name.
I got nothing.
Yeah. Jimmy, let him go.
Fred incorrect. Street. Oh, we got the trivia in the house.
Oh, my God. Murray, is that a hard question?
No.
Okay.
That was told to me when I was like five by my dad.
Okay.
Every parent should tell their children that when they first take them to Fenway.
Let's go to Bob and Raynham. Bobby, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I asked this question during the first week. It's a repeat question. What is Mookie Betts or Mookie Betts? What is his real first name?
Mookie.
Jimmy, incorrect. We can let Bob go. I'm going to give everybody the answer on this because it's very easy to remember, and I'm probably going to ask it later in the season. His real first name is Marcus. Okay? Marcus. And his full name is Marcus Lynn Betts. Very easy to remember. MLB. Mookie Betts, Marcus Lynn Betts, MLB. Okay? So are we through three people now? Is that
yes,
three?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, that's three. Let's go to Richard Woomer. Richie, there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. How many Cy Young Awards has Chris Sale won in his career?
Zero.
Zero is correct. Very good. Very good, Rich. All right, we might be on to something here. Number two. You got two more to go, Rich. You get them both. You get the $100 gift card, and you're entered in the drawing. Okay. According to baseballreference.com, who's taller, Dustin Pedroia or Brock Holt?
Brock Holt.
Very good. Correct. You are correct on Brock Holt. Two for two. Okay. Last question. If you get it, you win the gift card, and you get entered in the drawing. There have been 11 occasions in Red Sox history where a player has finished with 20 steals and 20 home runs. Okay, 11 occasions in Red Sox history where a player has gone 20-20. Only two players have done it twice. One of them is Jackie Jensen. The other one is this current member of the team. Who? Rich?
Mookie Betts.
Very good.
Hey!
Mookie Betts is the correct answer. Rich, stay on the line. Don't go anywhere. Jimmy, I'll put him on hold. He already did. Jimmy put him on for me. So they'll get your information. Rich is our winner this week. Rich from Woburn. And so congrats to him. He wins a Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill gift card for $100, and he'll automatically be entered for an overnight trip to see Boston and New York play in September in New York. If you're still waiting on the line, we can get to you next week. Before we get to Adam Jones, who is back at our studio in Brighton, I forgot to do this last night, so I better not forget tonight. The big matchup of tonight's game brought to you by the Big Y World Class Market. And the Red Sox against Daniel Mengden of the A's tonight. Right-handed pitcher. Have you seen a picture of this guy?
Yeah, he's got the Raleigh Fingers mustache.
You say Raleigh Fingers. I say Dirk Diggler, Murray. This guy's got a porn stash like you would not believe. Two guys in the Red Sox lineup have more than one hit against Daniel Mengden in his career. One of them's Jackie Bradley, unfortunately.
And he's not in.
He's on the bench tonight. But the other is Mitch Moreland, who is getting an at-bat, or a place in the lineup, rather, a start. In place of Bradley, so Mitch Moreland, 3-for-8 in his career against Mengden. On the other side, Eduardo Rodriguez versus Chris Davis, he owns him. He really does. 0-for-10, 5 strikeouts is Davis, who I think is, I want to say he's homered in like 3 straight games or something. I might have that wrong. But Davis, or rather the whole Oakland lineup against Eduardo Rodriguez, feels like a win for Rodriguez. They are 5-for-42 against him. That's a 119 average. So Rodriguez is now a sneaky big guy in this Red Sox rotation, which is something really I think we're going to have to get to tomorrow. We just didn't have enough time tonight. Thanks to Carson Smith.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.